Our theme for last weekend's MCEC annual church gathering was deepening our relationship with God. Now, I can understand that there may be at least a few individuals here who can't imagine what a weekend church business meeting could have to do with deepening our relationship with God. But let me assure you that God works in mysterious ways, at least for the conference nerds among us. In fact, we might find a parallel between a church meeting and the beginning of John 21 that we heard a few minutes ago. We can't tell in this story how long it is after Jesus' resurrection. Is it days, weeks? The disciples who had left everything to follow Jesus now head back to their fishing boats, back to what they knew before they met Jesus. Again, the story doesn't really make a moral judgment about this decision. Some might say that this was a distraction from what they needed to be doing. Or maybe it was them looking for the comfort of familiar activities when so many new things and troubling things had happened recently. Maybe it's just the reality that life does carry on and they've got to eat. Others have to eat. Someone has to fill the role of fisher in the community, and it used to be them. So they tend to the business that needs doing. A little like on the surface of an MCEC gathering, we tend to the business of approving budgets and changing bylaws and hiring staff and talking about programs. And then in the middle of the ordinary work of fishing, Jesus interrupts the disciples. And he calls them to go deeper. I like how you can watch Simon Peter literally go deeper into the water in the story and then be called deeper into his vocation. The disciples start in their boat on the surface of the Sea of Galilee, and they're not catching anything. Next thing you know, they hear someone in the peanut gallery on the shore suggesting that, oh, maybe the fish are all clustered on the other side of the boat. Well, hey, it's the end of a night shift. They've been doing everything they know how to do. They've got nothing to show for it. So they go deeper. They throw the net in on the other side. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." The moment of recognizing Jesus was that experience of abundance. More fish than they could even pull into the boat. And when Peter realized who it was on the shore, he jumped all the way into the water. The last time Simon Peter had stood around a charcoal fire, he said that he was no follower of Jesus. He denied his own identity as a disciple, just the opposite of Mary Magdalene on Easter morning, who named Jesus Rabboni, thereby naming herself as a student who sits at his feet. For Simon Peter, this is almost a second call narrative. That's not my visual, sorry. It's a second call narrative for Peter. It's a second chance for him to say yes, now that he has witnessed the stakes. He has been through the depths, and he didn't come out all that sure on the other end. Maybe that's why they're back to fishing. April Yamasaki, a seasoned Mennonite pastor and writer from British Columbia, spoke to us in our worship times last weekend, using Psalm 27 to take us into deepening our relationship with God. She spoke of coming to God just as we are, without pretense, in all situations. She spoke of seeking God as individuals and within the body. She reassured us that deepening our relationship with God is not only about our own effort, because God comes near to us, just like Jesus came to that seashore at daybreak and made breakfast. Using the comforting words of Psalm 27, April told us that the heart of God is the safest place to dwell, and it's also not safe at all. There is an intimate picture of God in the psalm, of seeking God's face. But this also carries risk. In the book of Hebrews, it's written, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." God once said to Moses during the wilderness wanderings, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." If God was concerned with staying safe, April said, would God have sent Jesus to inhabit the same flesh and bones that we know brings pain and danger along with joy and delight? Deepening our relationship with God involves seeking after God, come what may. Deepening our relationship with God is safe yet not safe because it will cost us all of our lives. Those words of praise we heard from the book of Revelation remind us of the countercultural call to go deeper with God, to go deeper with Jesus as he calls us together around the fire. The book of Revelation is a voice against the power of empire. In its context, the Roman Empire. In our context, we can call to mind the structures that claim to have power in our world. Elizabeth Schussler-Fiorenza argues that Revelation's frequent use of hymns, doxologies, hallelujahs, amens, and descriptions of heavenly liturgies serves not for the sake of persuading his audience to participate in the daily or weekly liturgy, but rather for the sake of moving the audience to political resistance. The hymn of praise we heard is surprising. Picture in your mind an image of power. Picture an image of wealth, an image of might, an image of honor. The things we typically ascribe to those words are going to be totally in contrast to the one who is proclaimed as worthy of them, the crucified Lamb, Jesus. Power is not what the world makes it out to be. Going deeper into the heart of God is both safe and not safe. And I think of some of the things that we are seeking to do as a regional church to go deeper in our relationship with God, into places that might sometimes be uncomfortable or show us what we don't know yet and what we might get wrong. MCEC has two peace and justice working groups that are bound to take us into uncomfortable waters if we are willing to go deeper. The Palestine-Israel Working Group has been working away in response to the resolution we passed as MC Canada in 2016, a resolution that emerged largely in response to the plea of Palestinian Christians that the global church come alongside the Palestinian people as they suffer under Israel's 49-year military occupation of the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and Gaza. The fairly long resolution included in part that we commit ourselves to ongoing prayer, searching, and discernment concerning the ways in which we as congregations, communities, and church members are impeding or facilitating, ignoring, or promoting the quest for a just peace between Palestinians and Israelis. And also, we urge our member congregations, that's us, to deepen their understanding of the Palestine-Israel relationship. The MCEC Working Group is seeking to guide us in those commitments. And I got some news yesterday, and I was busy all day, so it was hard to get all of the information, but our friend David Mivasar, who preached to us a couple of years ago, he's a rabbi, he now lives in Hamilton. He was coming to us from, I think, BC when he spoke to us. He was arrested in Hebron 2 days ago for an act of civil disobedience, and he has been released, but he continues to work to call upon Canadians to do what we can to speak about what our government can do in terms of promoting peace in Palestine and Israel. So I will try to send out some of that information later today because there are practical things that we can do. Regional Truth and Reconciliation working groups also arise from commitments we have made as Mennonite Church Canada. We heard that groups have formed in Hamilton, Niagara, KW, Markham-Stouffville, and Toronto with conversations on these concerns, Indigenous settler reconciliation, also happening in a few other places within MCEC. The convener of all of the groups, Scott Morton in EMEA, recalled the gospel story when Jesus saw the disciples' offer of loaves and fishes, and Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And he made enough out of what seemed like next to nothing. In our commitment to truth and reconciliation, we must be willing to bring the little we have, the little we know, the little we understand, the little we think we can do, and allow Jesus to take us deeper and to make something out of what seems like nothing. When Simon Peter was finally sitting at that charcoal fire with Jesus, they went deeper yet. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus asked. "Then feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me." Let's go deeper into the water and into the fire, into Jesus' love for us, and into our love for Jesus, into Jesus' love for all the sheep that need tending and feeding around the fire, including ourselves. Let's go deeper into these hymn words. We still hear these ancient voices and the lessons that they give. "Do you love me?" is the question meant to guide us as we live.